And ask God to teach us His grace in His Word. Father, we thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. And Father, we ask especially that we may be able to hear Your voice, hear Your words. Lord, we came here to hear Your words. We came here to seek Your face. We came here to touch Your presence. We came here to receive from You, Father. And we know You never disappoint, because You always love each one of us, Your children. And You desire that we would hear Your voice, for You said that My sheep hear My voice. And You desire to heal us because You have paid the price on the cross for our healing and for all our needs. We thank You, Father, that You release a fresh into our lives today, a new measure of wisdom and revelation and understanding, and open our eyes that we may know You and see You in a deeper and more intimate way. We invite the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, to minister, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to do all that He so desires. We thank You, Father, and for all that You do, we covenant to give You all the glory, the worship, and the honor. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Praise God. We are back on track on the life of the Apostle Paul. Finally, we are able to look at his first missionary journey. And that starts in the book of Acts chapter 13. So to refresh our memories, let's look at the beginning of the missionary journey, which is only two chapters in the Bible, Acts 13 and Acts 14. And they went back to complete their journey in Acts 15 to their home church in Antioch. Acts 13, verse 1 to 3, to refresh our memories. It says that now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Then in verse 4, So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Now, in other words, it's not an organization that sent them. It is not humans that sent them. And they did not send themselves either. They did not go because they were interested to have a tour of the area. But it says they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for organizations and missionary organizations that send missionaries out because they're led by the Spirit to send them. And although the church officially prayed for them and sent them forth, it was the Holy Spirit who has the credit for sending them. The Holy Spirit, they were sent by the Holy Spirit, and they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. That does begin their missionary journey. And in this missionary journey of theirs, you would expect, well, this is the beginning. God will be behind them. Wonderful things will be taking place. And indeed, wonderful things take place. But like in all things in the Bible, and all things that will be so in our life, the first thing that they confront is satanic opposition. Now it says they were sent by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we all have the impression that just because God told us to do something, and we have heard the voice of God, and we really know that it's God's will to do something, many Christians expect zero opposition. That's not the mentality that the Bible Christians have. In fact, the only people with that kind of mentality were failures in God, like the group of people who came out from Israel, and when they went forth into the promised land, after all the wonderful promises God spoke to them, they are going into a land of milk and honey, for Australians, cream and crackers, of Tim Tams and you know, latte. Going to this land that is all wonderful. Nobody expects that there will be opposition there. No matter how beautiful the promises of God, how wonderful the promises of God, there will be opposition. And it is not, it has nothing to do with whether God promised you. It has nothing to do with whether God has sent you. It has nothing to do whether it was God's will. Because all the answers to the first three questions are yes. We need to train a new breed of Christians who expect the unexpected and expect opposition. But we are sending out Christians and telling Christians to do God's will without telling them that there is an enemy. And so the first time they are rejoicing and they go out to do God's will, they expect everything to be smooth sailing. And so one of the first lessons that we need to learn about doing God's will or being sent by, I know it's fine, emphasize again, they were sent by the Holy Spirit. And there was an opposition. First thing that we have to learn in our Christian life in doing God's will is there will be opposition. It's not even a maybe. There will be. You like it? There shall be. For the devil, there must be an opposition. Why does God allow it? As we look at the first confrontation they had, they landed on the island of Cyprus. And in verse 5, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. That John is their assistant, that John Mark. And verse 6, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. So the devil was already waiting there. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew. Of all things, he was also a Jew. A Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. See, even the name sounds like Jesus. And if you don't realize the Greek, the word Bar means son of. So Bar-Jesus actually means son of Jesus. So here they were sent by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. They go out to this island and there was a son of Jesus. The false son of Jesus confronting them. Bar-Jesus. And this guy was a sorcerer. He knows black magic. See here. It tells us in verse 8, his name was Elymas, the sorcerer. So was his name translated. He withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So he was confronting them. We were not told what kind of confrontation. He must have been argumentative. He must be, you know, running them down, mocking them, and doing all kinds of things. And then Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, said this to him. Verse 10. Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud. And this is his actual name. You son of the devil. He's not son of the gun. Son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight way of the Lord? And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately, a dark mist fell on him. He went around seeking someone to lead by the hand, and the proconsul believed what he saw, and he believed the gospel. What a powerful confrontation. There's this guy arguing away and Paul says, you son of the devil, you shall be blinded. And they, that was enough. And then after that, how many here would like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The question is, why did God allow opposition? For only one thing and one thing only, that we may have victory over them. We must, in the first point in Paul's mission, is there will be opposition. There will be opposition. So in point 1a, expect opposition. It can come in any form that we have not dreamed of. But expect opposition, and B, know that there will be an empowering of the Spirit to overcome that opposition. And point 1b is where many Christians miss it. Tell me any story that you remember in the Bible that was not the result of confrontation with the devil. Well, let me give you a few examples. David and Goliath. If there was no Goliath, there would be no story of David. But for all the people in that time, do you know how long the opposition was? 40 days and 40 nights. He challenged the whole army of Israel, and not one of the thousands upon thousands of well-built, strong, muscular soldiers would confront him. Because they said, if God is on our side, how come this is happening? Sounds like the average Christian. God is on our side, why is this happening? This is happening so that you could, 1b, overcome that. Because the victory of the gospel is in challenging and overcoming. The victory is not just going there and say, please come to Jesus. Please come to Jesus. And it will be, let me get Stephen. I love Stephen. Come on, Stephen. I need him. And come over here. Let's say that I'm reaching up to Stephen. Can you stand here? And so, you, Glenn, you pretend to be the enemy and you're pulling him that side. I'm pulling him this side. All right. You're pulling him there. Okay. Okay. And so, the victory of the gospel is not in saying, oh, Stephen, come on, come to the Lord, come to the Lord, please come to the Lord. That's no victory there. The purpose of the gospel is, we haven't let you go yet. Yeah. It's, you know, as you come and you preach the gospel and he sees the enemy there and he comes and he knocks the devil. Bang! And then the devil gets the TKO. Thank you. Stands for technical knockout. And then you free the person. That's where the glory of the gospel is. It's to point 1b, you can put that TKO, the devil. TKO stands for technical knockout. And then he's count 1 to 10, the person doesn't revive, you got the victory. It's a knockout. It's a knockout. Okay. It's a knockout too. And so, there will be opposition. Think about the Israelites going into the promised land. Where was the victory? If they went there and the whole land is all mushy, mushy, full of honey and all this thing, and no opposition, there's no victory there. But it's when they have to confront the enemy and find a victory, that's where the glory comes. Moses, when he was sent into Egypt, with one message, let my people go. God already knew there's going to be opposition. And God allowed that opposition, and he says, he will allow it so that he can show his glory. And how long did the opposition last? Quite some time. And the first time Moses preached to the Israelites, they were all excited. Everyone said, yay, 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 God is here with us. Yay, yay, yay. Hold the yays. Remember point 1a, expect opposition. Comes to the devil, comes to the Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, no way, Mose. Not Jose. No way. 10 times he confronted him. And the only way Pharaoh let him go was when his own begotten son died. But out of that came the story of